ਜਿਸਤਾਨ ਪਾਉਂਦੇ ਚਾਰ ਸਿਰ ਬਾਬਾ ਜੀ
Lamentation. Ultimately, Vipralamba. Because actually, all anxiety and grief we have of loss or separation really has to do with separation from Krishna.
And
ultimately, we won't be really happy or satisfied, full of all grief, until we are back
in Krishna.
Or until, even in this body, we can access a deeper Krishna consciousness. So I want to read a few passages
first.
This is from Bhagavad Gita, 2, text 11.
Bhagavad Gita, the last one.
Jai Bhagavan Vacha. Atkoya Abhaso Chastvam. Pragna Vadam Chavasase Katasum Agatasum Cha Manu Sokhachipa Dittaha. Translation. The Supreme Personality of God has said, wow, speaking learned words. You are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor for the dead.
A
very popular verse. This is from Arjuna. While you are seemingly speaking learned words,
but you are
in grief, you are mourning.
What
you are lamenting for,
that
such wise people, they do not lament for either the living or the dead.
Srimad
Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 28, Text 32, Purport. Emphasizing that the inhabitants of material universe are always in grief. That the inhabitants, those who live in the material universe, are always
experiencing.
The entire universe is full of misery. And therefore, the inhabitants of this material universe are always shedding tears out of intense grief. There's a great ocean of water made from the tears. The one who surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of
Godhead.
The ocean of tears is at once dried up. One need only see the charming smile of the Supreme Personality of
Godhead.
Like Jagannath's
smile.
Jagannath has big eyes. We are praying that Lord Jagannath become visible unto
us.
He sees us, so we have to see him. At least we should act in such a way that he would be pleased by his
seeing.
So one need only see the charming smile of the Supreme Lord. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves in our grief that Krishna is watching. And that he is sitting with blessings
as well.
In other words, the bereavement of material existence, the problems of
maturity
immediately subsides and one sees the charming smile of the Lord. This lamenting is called an associative. Bhagavad Gita 2, chapter 2, text 1.
Bhagavad Gita 2.
Sanjaya Uvacha. Tamstaha Pibhaya Vishtam Ashrupuna Kule Sanam Visidatam Idam Bhakyam Uvacha Madhu Sudana. Translation. This refers to the knowledge of real self-realization means no
meditation.
Sanjaya said, seeing Arjuna full of compassion, his mind depressed, his eyes full of tears, Madhusudana Krishna spoke the following words. So Krishna seeing Arjuna in this very bewildered state.
So Krishna vidya Arjuna wo nebu vidya.
This happened to us when we were studying some lamentation.
This is the show I know because it's more cool.
Mind is depressed. Sometimes the eyes are full of tears.
We have
some compassion or anxiety. So Krishna seeing Arjuna in that situation.
So Krishna seeing Arjuna in that situation.
Remember, Arjuna is representing everyone. We're not just thinking of Arjuna as just a historical character. Looking at Arjuna, who is actually the eternal servant of Krishna, acting in a certain way for the benefit of everybody.
Vishnu Krishna koji djeluje za svačiju dobrobit
savjesno.
Stoga dok čitamo slušamo Bhagavad Gita.
Reflecting on a message that's spreading.
Trebamo razmišljati te poruke koje znamo mi svima.
So this could have been saying, any person whose mind becomes depressed, whose eyes are full of tears because of some grief.
Stoga ovdje može isto tako biti rečeno, bilo koja osoba čijom depresijom, čije oči pune suze, ako osjeća tugu i...
Krishna is speaking now to us.
Krishna govori nama.
Now, when we notice here Krishna is being called a certain name, Madhusudana.
I nećemo ovdje da je Krishna nazvan određenim imenom, Madhusudana.
What is Madhusudana? Što
je Madhusudana? Što znači to?
So, sometimes Krishna is called based on
Krishna se ponekad naziva po određenom
lidu. Papa says in support. Material compassion, lamentation, and tears.
Papa kaže smislu materijalna samilost i radikovanje i suze.
There are signs of ignorance of the real self.
Znani su nepoznavanje neznanja o stvarnom jasno.
Compassion for the eternal soul, that is self-realization. The word Madhusudana is significant in this verse. Lord Krishna killed the demon Madhu. And now Arjuna wants Krishna to kill the demon in his mind, misunderstanding. That
had
overtaken him in his charge of duty. No one knows where compassion should be applied. Compassion for the dress of a drowning man is senseless. A man fallen in the ocean of nations cannot be saved by simply rescuing a downward dress.
Čovjek koji upadne u ocean nakon gliva ne može biti spašen samo spašavanjem njegove odjeće.
And what is his dress?
I koje to odjeće?
The gross material body.
Grubo materijalno tijelo.
One who does not know this.
Osoba koja ne zna ovo.
And laments for the outward dress.
I jadi koji za istinskom odjeću.
Is called a sudra.
Ili zove se sudra.
Or one who laments unnecessary.
Ili onaj koji
Arjuna was a kshatriya.
Arjuna was a kshatriya.
This conduct was not expected from him. Lord Krishna, however, can dissipate the lamentation of the ignorant man.
And
for this purpose, the Bhagavad Gita, was sung.
In other words,
one of the main meanings of Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Krishna.
Was
to take away lamentation.
Bhagavad Gita Guru and Krishna
This chapter instructs us in self-realization. By an analytical study of the material body and the spirit soul. As explained by the supreme authority. Who is of course
Krishna.
This realization is possible when one works without attachment. And is situated in the fixed conception of the real self. So first we are reading from Bhagavad Gita how wise do not lament for the living or the dead. Then we're reading the Bhagavatam, our inhabitants of this material universe are always in grief. Then we're reading Nasoshkati that one should not Arjun is full of anxiety. His eyes were full of tears. His mind was depressed. So Krishna here is called Madhusudana. Madhusudana means one who is killed in
Madhusudana.
So Arjuna is actually referring to this grief in his mind and confusion is like a demon. And because of this demon, he's asking, pleading to Krishna, please, help me. Take away this out of my mind. So, today we go further on our day two in our course. What is the board? Is the papers on the board? That's not coming. Indian time. You want Croatian time, not Indian time. Very ingenious. My problem. This is so fast for now. This is really vicious energy. That's to be clever. This is so. First, I'm just going to do a 5-minute summary. Some things we discussed yesterday.
Now, do you want to be described?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But first, we mentioned that grief.
First, we spoke about the yadiko and duga.
Is it right? Yeah, grief. G-R-I-N-G. Is like a death. And we discuss that whether it's a physical death, someone who dear to us,
whether
the death of a plan,
death
of an idea,
death
of trust. So, in some way, it's you're dealing with some kind of death. We describe how grief. Well, let's put number two. Number two. That grief is like spice. Like spice. Can you see below you?
Just a bit from there.
A little better. So grief is like spice. How many of you are cooks here? Who cooks? Okay, so I'll come to your house. So, but we know when we cook that the spice has to be just proper. If it's not enough, the food will not be so tasty. If it's too much, even though you have nice food, you'll spoil it with your good spice. So this is how it is.
So if you have to use this food.
Number three. You talked about we must die to live. You must die daily. So, this dying to live means in one sense, every transition in our life, major transition, is also like a death. We move from one thing into something else. We discuss how even joining, we joined the Krishna conscious movement, that it was also somewhat like a death to some of our previous activities. Now some of those activities we distinctly stopped and gave up the desires that are connected with those activities. But some things we've still been carrying on in our mind and sometimes even in our actions. We'll talk about that in a minute. But yesterday we also looked at actual physical death. And we were discussing someone who's very dear to us, relative friend, or somebody very dear who is no longer with us, is deceased. We wanted you to share that with each other and discuss that a little bit. We examined Bhaktisiddhanta's concern how samadhi is pure, they can liberate 100 generations.
That's it,
Uttamaharikar. But even if they're not fully pure, they can elevate to 7 generations. And Kanishka
4.
Looking at that in reference to how important it is for each of us to become more serious. Because now we're not just in our devotional service for ourselves. We also were looking in terms of karmically how we're connected with other people. In some cases, we saw even in this life, when someone leaves the body, when there's a body in the family, the person who leaves the body gets benefited. So some of you were sharing about the person who was dear to you, and the Krishna conscious way of how you saw that death.
Because
you to reflect on that person and you share that with us. We share things in the devotee association. It's purifying. It helps us to think deeper.
Vražena razmišljenje dubljeva tim odnosima.
Now we ask you for a homework assignment.
Pitali smo na zadaću.
That you would consider some things that you have lost.
Da razmišljate stvarima koje ste izgubili.
That not people, but something you've lost that you in the past that gave you some grief.
Ne ljudi, nego nešto što se izgubili u prošlosti, što se učinilo tužnim.
Want to look at some of those concerns today?
We
also ask you to think of people who now you no longer have an association with, who's out of your mind, who maybe you are still dealing with some grief, you know, based on that connection. So hopefully overnight or you how much have you really had closure in your relationship, or how much that grief is still going on, you know, in your
consciousness.
Okay, so our first assignment right now is we want to share a thing that you have lost. This is not a person. This can be, you know, a car, a house, money, reputation, trust in someone. But something that distinctly was lost for you, that gave you grief. Now you may or may not have given up the anxiety from that. So when you share with each other, you share what is the thing that you lost that's giving you some grief, and you discuss openly, honestly with that person if in fact you have moved through it or if it's still giving you some botheration. They discuss with each other a thing that they have lost, and they discuss it mentioning if they feel they have moved through the grief or whether they're still
experiencing
some grief. Well, last night we discussed about a deceased person and the grief connected with
them.
Now, instead of talking about deceased individual, we want to look at something that has been separated from you, something you have lost. But it was important to you. And you share what is going on now. Are you okay now? You moved away from the pain and the anxiety? Are you still dealing with some anxiety and pain that's connected with that? So we're
going
to give you about 5-6 minutes to share this with each other. So everyone pair off, two people discuss each other, just pair off with this. We want everyone to be able to participate.
I'm going to go to the hospital. to bolo.
Okay, so Alex, so what you were discussing, something that was dear to you, then there has been a loss. With the loss, it meant was some grief or still is some grief. So we'd like a few of you to share who had a particular loss, some grief, but you were able to deal with it in a Krishna conscious way. That loss is no longer a problem for you. Although when it happened, it definitely was a problem. We were looking at two different categories. One category, some loss. We experience grief, and the grief, more grief is still with us now. The other category, loss, some grief, but we're no longer bothered by that. And we've even learned something from the experience. So who can share with us about what they have learned something from that?
Kad sam imao 6 godina, doživio sam gubitak jedne stvari za koju su 10 godina obično jako puno vezano. U to vreme sam nekoliko dana meditirao na jedan motocikl koji sam vidio u izlogu i molio sam svog oca da mi ga kupi i ispunim tu želju. Prvo večer kada mi ga je kupio, ja sam legao sa tim motociklom u krevet, jer sam bio toliko vezan za njega i cijele noći je bio pred mene na jastuku. Kada sam se ujutru probudio, na moju veliku žalost, bilo sam da je taj motocikl, znači ta maketa motocikla, bila prepolovljena. Kada sam u tom trenutku shvatio da sam je ja vjerovatno tokom noći na neki način polomio, osjetio sam kao da mi se srce polomilo na dva dela. I tokom vremena, nakon nekoliko mjeseci, jednostavno tuga za tim motociklom je nego već izda, to je bila spontano. I ono što sam naučio kasnije iz toga je da sve materijalne, znači stvari za koje se vežemo, su prolazne i da je zbog toga neminovna znači tuga za njima, jer će kad tad da nestati.
Vaishnava Gaur ki! Keep reminding ourselves that there's nothing that is material that's going to last forever. Matter of fact, it's nature's material world. Everything remains for a while, decays, and then it's finished. But somehow our tendency is thinking that some material things are supposed to stay with us. Krishna sometimes he gives us, and sometimes same Krishna takes away. Even as devotees, sometimes Krishna gives the devotees so much wealth, opulence, fame. Sometimes after we become devotees, everything is taken away. Money, our prestige, our friends, sometimes our relatives, sometimes our health. But how can Krishna be fair if he does this? The other day we were talking about when you chant Hare Krishna. We say Hare means one who takes away.
Hare Hare Krishna
Krishna
Krishna Hare Hare.
So we chanting Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Take it away. Hare Krishna. So we're saying Hey Govinda, Krishna.
Hey Krishna,
take it away. Whatever things are interference in my spiritual life, take it away. Whatever things I need to experience, bring it to me. So, this is a dangerous mala. We should remind ourselves we're asking the Supreme Lord. Without power. Take it away. So for some people, what's needed in their life is for Krishna to just take too many things out of their life space. But for some people, the best way they can grow is for Krishna to bring so many things to them. What Krishna will be noticing what we do when he gives us something as well as when he takes something away. Our position is to try to be equal, steady in mind, whatever happens. We see sometimes people are very spiritual when they have nothing.
You're
quite humble. Strict
sadhana.
One day they get an inheritance. No time for Krishna anymore.
Anyway.
While they didn't have anything, they were thinking, oh, Krishna, oh God, help me. No, they have no time. Sometimes we see the opposite. Someone is very devotional when they have so many facilities. They have big responsibility. They have fame. They have money, they have power, they have influence. One day, they lose it. And now, no time for Krishna. Before, they were so dedicated, seemingly, when things were convenient and easy. Then, as soon as there's so many inconveniences and problems, they question whether Krishna even exists. You saw, for instance, some years back, you saw some people during the war, they became more spiritual. Some people were almost atheistic in society, they became more spiritual. Some people, the opposite. They're thinking, how can there be a God? I've lost that. Why should I pray to God? I was praying to him and everything got taken away. So it's the same Krishna who will give someone, same Krishna who will take away. He's watching us to see how we respond when he gives us what we
take.
So in his case, he was attached to this machine bicycle.
Motorbike is
a different
thing.
And he was able to think about it later in the Krishna consciousness. It's easier to think about Krishna when Krishna gives you.
It becomes
a little harder when something is taken away. But it's something that's dear to you. And even much harder when someone who is dear to you is taken away.
Ono što se meni desilo da sam izgubio, bilo je došlo vrati. Pre 7-8 godina, godinu dana sam, mislim, družio se vlakom, dolazio sam u templu, full time spot, cijelo dan sam bio u templu, ono se desilo da su moji roditelji postali jako heavy. I onda još nisam mogao dolaziti u templu, ni da vidim vlakom, jedino kad bih smo neki na ulicu, u Sankcije. I onda sam se pitao, mislim, po čega mi se sve ovo dešava, da ne mogu da se ljubim sa Bhaktima, da ne mogu ošto da vidim duhovne učitelje, da primenjuju proces društva Bhakti. Zbog čega sam se, bio sam, moja toga je bilo on baš jako velik, kao da mi je srce krvarilo, kao da mi je neko uzeo priliku da se spasim od nakonog svega, ništa više nije mogao uzeti. Međutim, kako je vreme prolazilo, polako sam shvatio da je i to bilo Krišna milost na neki način. Ja jesam bio vezan za društvo Bhakta, ali ta vezanost je bila materijalna. Moji motivi su bili pogrešni. Želao sam duhovno da napredujem, ali isto vreme želao sam svoje sopstveno uzdizanje. Ja, Bhakti yoga znači nešto čisto, samo za Krišnu, ali ja sam ipak želao da ja napredujem, da sebe uzdizanje, da ja budem oslobođen. I Krišna vidio te pogrešne motive i onda mi jednostavno odjedno sve to uzelo. I tako kroz tih 4-5 godina, kad došlo nisam mogu da se družim sa Bhaktom, postepeno sam počeo, pokušao sam da menjam svoj stav. I onda nakon nekog vremena ta karma je prošla. Za to vreme osjećao sam kao da imam neke okove, nevidljive okove na rukama i nogama. Pokušao sam da dođem do društva Bhakta, ali ne, Maja me baš nije dao, kao čelične rešetke, ne vidi da čelične rešetke. Ali jednom trenutku je to sve spalo i sad sam ponovo.
Vaishnava ko ki
jai. We've all have seen times when we do not have a chance to have a steady devotional association. But sometimes it's very devastating because then we no longer are so attached to our vows, we start taking shelter of karmis and we start thinking just like them. The same thing can happen to someone. They have less association and they become like materialists. Someone has less association and they become more
serious.
Ultimately, we all need association because much of our Krishna consciousness is based on the quality of our associates.
But
there are sometimes periods in our lives when we don't have much association. So that should make us more hungry and desirous for association. So sometimes Krishna does that as a way to strengthen our devotion.
И понекад Кришна учини то да обеснажи нашу девоцию.
So we do come together, we take much more, the whole process more seriously.
So как сокупимо заедно, да цели процес доживяваме и взимаме пуно любимо.
Because someone can be in a temple every day doing deity service, and their mind can be completely demoniac.
Некој може бити у храму full time и сваки ден раете божанство, 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 але него може бити потпуно мање.
Someone can associate with the spiritual master every single day almost.
Некој се може дружиту на лични бити сваки ден.
And be 95% of the time in mind.
И бити на лист потпуно време мање.
Sometimes we become too familiar, we take things for granted.
We
think, oh, another
artist,
I got to cook for the deity, I have to do the puja.
Someone doesn't see the deity so
much, oh, they're so excited
about it.
So in this case, several years, he didn't have a chance to associate.
Devastating
for them. But then, when we do have the chance, we can take it much more
seriously. And one more verse. Verse 19. Verse 19. Verse 19.
Verse 19. Verse 19.
Verse 19. Verse 19.
Verse 19. Verse reflect on it, Verse 19. Verse 19.
Verse 19. Verse
that we're not feeling any anxiety about it or grief.
Either we should sit down or never go and do it.
With most of us are still in grief, still in anxiety.
Which of us is sure to do it, we should continue.
Кратко от време е изгубила ключ на страна. Не е намерила. После тази дама, я съм консултирал да не стане още нещо. И стана. Дадал съм лайна и бил погодния. Лайна е една мята. И мисля съм сега, като завърши в гола, не че не хвастам. И нормално ще е лесно малко. Това съм рече, айде да купим компютър, не е че не си. Главно ще съм бъд помисла да не трябвам, не съм сега не трябваше малко. А можем рече, че дар овог мога живота до сад, някак се не да не приятел. И както един дан съм отказна, че да си изглавата няма, кое съм почувала. Ще значи да съм много особа, кое улазва в стан. Знат где се тази малата налази, отключат стан. Обзирам да нагам лават ми е лопше да отъкнат. И нормално, при номера ти бил шоканта, не можеш да бъдеш. А после тога съм една оно. То е било давно заиста на кон лудило или смърти или не знам, грозно, грозно, не знам. Jer su se miješala ta osjećanja da se radi o povjerljivoj osobi, pa je iskoristila to povjerenje. A samim tim da onda ja sam sve ne mogu vjerovat kad potvarim povjerenje i ljudima. Na takav način. I malo je bila isto tako tu, ona je malo to je počela da se tresi i tako dalje. A ja sam onda shvatila da moram da smirim situaciju i ono rekla sam je Krišna je tako htio da vidimo zašto je htio. I onda prva lekcija je bila da je stvarno ne smijem da se brinem ni za što. Znači kako mi je dao taj posao, kako mi je dao taj novac. Ja nisam trebala da se veđem a priori za njega. nego zaista dalje da ga na neki način koristim i upotrebljavam. Normalno na jedan pametan način, a nikako da ga štedim, da ga čuvam. A drugo, moram reći, mama je to prvi put rekla Krišna. I onda sam nešto Krišna rekla, ako je to bila cijena da ona prvi put u životu kaže Krišna od srca, onda je to na jednostavljaka. Posle toga mi je Krišna pokazao to materijalno prijateljstvo, koje je normalno vrlo varavo, ja? I onda sam i to shvatila. Sad vam neću reći, bilo je zaista jako puno lekcija kroz taj jedan detalj. Ja sam 3 dana tako meditirala, odnosno pokušala da shvatim zašto se to. Otišla sam po platu tim zadnjim izvenima i očekivala sam 2 diplome. Ima leka da ću dobiti. I dobila sam 2700. I čak nisam vjerovala pa sam išla u finansijsku službu, a oni su čak bili uvrijeđeni jer kao ja ne provjeravam. I oni su rekli, pa da, kao normalno, toliko smo ti platili, si rabo još 15 dana, to ja uopće ništa nisam da će mi platiti. Onda sam aplicirala ovaj za jedne ikone kolonije i već sam zaboravila na to na neki način, čak i prije tog događaja sam dobila odmjenicu, a posle toga sam pozvana na tu ikonu koloniju. Onda sam, ne znam, išla na more i tako. Uglavnom, toliko je bilo nagrada poslije, kad sam shvatila zašto se to desilo. Ali eto, ne bi poželjela
da se to
are reminded by Krishna that he's controlling. Many times when we are dealing with a thing right at its inception, it seems overwhelming. When we're dealing with something at first, initially, because we have our time, we have our perception, but Krishna has his own plans. So, if we have proper determination, faith, and perseverance, Krishna can arrange things better than we can
ourselves.
Somehow, whatever is happening in our life, we have to try to see Krishna.
This
is
going
to be Satyananda Maharaj, this is similar, seeing Krishna in everything. He said it's easy to see Krishna when things happen the way you want, but it's not so easy when there is some
difficulty.
I'll share one short story with you. So, when I first joined the movement in this lifetime, 37 years back, over 30 years ago, I'm pretty old. So, I had graduated from the university, studied international law and psychology, politics. And so I went to a very good school in America. And so I was the only one in my family to, to get a degree. And so I had gotten a scholarship to go on for the study, to work at the United Nations. And so many things have been arranged for my future. And the money has been arranged by taj scholarship.
I novac je bio sređen od te stipendije.
But of course, I put it all behind and joined the Krishna movement.
Ali naravno, ja sam sve postavio iza sebe i pridružio se pomoću s Isus Krishna.
Dance in the streets?
Da, plešem u ulici.
No. My first work
was
like never ended. Was to watch big fox. I went to the temple in New York City, and there were so many devotees. And so there was like this huge pot to wash. So sometimes I was thinking, why did I give up my career? To be a professional pot washer. Sometimes it was the cooks were not very good cooks in those days. And so they would burn every preparation. So washing had to scrub. It was quite difficult. But of course I understood that once you do whatever devotional service is a call for. And after years, you know, washing pots and doing
sankirtan.
First is, of course, sankirtan on the streets. Then sankirtan at universities. And then later, one becomes sannyasa, one becomes guru. And so many of the things that I was, that I thought I had left behind, which I was okay with after a while, after leaving New York City, going to Dallas in America. These are pots weren't so big there. So the job became a little easier. But often when we give up something, if Krishna wants us to use it, he will later find even a better way that we can use it. Later I had so many chances to use what I learned from the university. Many times more than if I would have, of course, just stayed in that profession. 12-15 years later, after I became a devotee, then I was visiting the United Nations, residents of countries, diplomats in different countries. But now, not for mundane reasons, but to share Krishna consciousness. So many years, almost 10 years, I have my own TV programs in America. Anyway, so many things that I had given up. Then later, Krishna just gave them back, even more. So that happens sometimes in some of our lives also. We may give up something, if we give it up genuinely, Krishna will always find a way to assist us in whatever is necessary.
Можем оставить нечто, и Кришна все будет наше наше на дороге, дом с мелкой.
When I became with a sannyas,
yes.
At that time I was I was working in Los Angeles.
В то время сыграли в Лос-Анджелесе.
So in those days, Los Angeles was our biggest project in the world.
В то время Лос-Анджелес был наш проект в свете.
Before we had built up India. We were just now beginning to build the temples in Vrindavan and Mayapur, Pacha. So Los Angeles was like the headquarters. DBT was there. So many of the international main offices were in Los Angeles. So I was assistant to the DBC who was in charge of all of those things. So I had a very big position. And when I became a sannyas, all of a sudden I had nothing.
So at the end of that,
it Because the idea of sannyasa was now we go out somewhere and preach. Los Angeles, there's like streets and streets, you know, of devotees. Many houses, many apartments. And ITV was there, DBT was there. Also, so many of the major, the artists were doing the book, painting. So many of the major things for the world were Los Angeles. So because I was assistant to the DBC, wherever he would travel, India, Hawaii, I would just travel with him. Now when I became a sannyas, I didn't have any way to travel. I didn't have any duty, any service, any responsibility. I didn't even have one euro, $1. And so after I took sannyas, I was out of my office. I didn't even have enough money to get a bus to go someplace. What to do? Where to go? But of course, that Greek was very, very Greek. And I thought, I can go any place. I can go anywhere. Anywhere in the world. First, I have to get some money. I can take a bus to Australia. Take a bus to Siberia. That's a long way. But I don't have bus money. So, here, before I had something, devotees were assisting me because I was with the assistant GBC. Now I didn't even have one servant. I had to find someone to come out of some place to become a servant. So it was a total shift. But often, sometimes these things are necessary. And they say, the Greek is like a death. So it was death to the old lifestyle, but it was birth to new experiences. So we should be constantly excited, waiting for new experiences in our lives. Now I'll tell you a story of a different nature. When someone, for instance, when we all joined the movement, we left some things behind us. Some of us have never looked back. Some of us look back after a while. Some people always kept thinking of so many things from the past. There was one brahmachari who was with us many years ago. And he was very close to his family. So every holiday, his mother would send him a card. She would say, "Oh, your whole family was together. Everybody was there except you." You know, it's so sad you joined that Hare Krishna strength movement, and now we never see you. So, he had this unusual attachment to apple pie. So, one day she sent him a letter and a card. And she sent a package. And the letter was saying, you know, everyone was together, it was such and such person's birthday. The whole family was together. Everybody was there except you. And I made wonderful apple pie. here's a piece of it. 2 days later, Never saw that devotee again. That apple pie just took him right out of the pulpit. So, he was grieving too much.
The
Maya had just started to approach him.
He used
his mother to send him some apple pie. So all along he was grieving. He was in grief that he's a devotee but he's missing his apple pie.
So
as soon as the pie came, it stimulated his consciousness. It intensified his grief. And he one night just dashed out and went back home to get apple pie.
And
he never came back again. Okay, now what we want to do? Put some things on the board about what are some of the stages that one goes to when they're dealing with grief. Because if we move through all the stages, it becomes a healthy experience. And if we don't, then there's so many problems that
come.
So these are stages of the grief process. Remember, one reason we're discussing this. So we can deal with our own grief. Because it's necessary to have some lamentation, some grief. But if we have too much, we get stuck, then there's a problem. It's also important that we can help each other as a community if people are dealing with different challenges and grief. And as is important, it's good if devotees can be counselors, facilitators, even for the karmas.
Because
it's an area that is very devastating, especially when you lose someone, when somebody dies. Or when something is very dear to someone, is taken away. And at that point, the individual's consciousness is more intense. So it's a time that we can try to be present to try to give someone Krishna consciousness. But giving Krishna consciousness is not just dogma. It's not just forcing the philosophy on someone. But it's in trying to communicate. And in communication, it's good if we know something about what the person is experiencing, thinking, going through. Then we have better ability to be relevant and to help. So it's a little harder to help someone if you don't actually understand what their pain is. But as you understand, you have much more insight in how to help. Number one, the first main event, so feeling the. This is really intense, Bhikkhu. This is very serious.
It's
like a death in the family. Or something that's really serious that just changes your whole life for a while. Well, first thing is shock. One of the reasons the body and the mind goes in shock. Is that when that very, very serious grief, it's like the body just turns itself out, just so you can later have a chance to try to hopefully deal with it. The body becomes numb. Numb, what do you say?
tijelo postane tupo, zato kad je tako tijelo reagira da postane tupo u stanju šoka.
Se te delazikon, sada delazikon reaction to getting with the great anxiety.
To je psihološka, fiziološka reakcija koja se, kad se susrećemo sa vrlom, kad je tako teško bude mirenje.
Just like if you had an accident,
kao kad imate neku nesreću,
and you're having such pain,
imate jako bol,
then sometimes one will just go unconscious.
Ponekad se osoba ubori svijesti.
The pain is so great, it's the body's way of just tuning out.
To znači da je bol toliko teško da se tijelo na svoj način isključuje.
So one of the first expressions is just shock.
Jedna od prvih izražavanja tuge je šok.
Two. Second one is
dva.
Is it denial?
Druga stvar je poricanje.
That means the mind starts thinking, no, this can't be true.
U kojoj se razmišlja, ne, ovo ne može biti istina.
It's just too devastating.
To je previše razumno da bi bilo istina.
To be true.
Da to bude istina, to je razumno.
The consequences are just too heavy if this thing is true.
Posljedice su preteške da je ovo stvar istina.
So often after the shock, or along with the shock, one is just in denial, no.
Često nakon šoka osoba se nađe u stanu poricanja i govori, ne, ovo je nemoguće, ovo se nije istina.
Then, after a while, one has to accept that this is the reality.
Nakon nekog vremena osoba počne prihvaćati da je to stvarnost.
But the shock and the denial can give one a little bit of time to accept what is happening.
Ali šok i poricanje daje osobi vrijeme da se suoči s tim što se desilo.
Now, some people, they actually never go past this particular level, they stay right here.
Ali neke osobe oni ne viđu ovaj nivo, oni ostaju ovdje.
So they stay in denial.
Oni ostaju u nivou poricanja.
Or they're just numb, they're just in shock.
Ili ostaju tupi sa onim šokom.
So this way it becomes a mental problem.
I na taj način to postane mentalni problem.
Or someone has died and they're considering the person is still around.
Ili neko umre osobi dalje, tako smatra da osobi dalje prisutno.
Say someone has had a little child who's died.
Neko ima malo djete koje umre.
And they bought so many clothes and things for the kid is only 3 or 4 years old.
Ili kupuje toliko odjeće za djete, 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 godine.
So even though the child has died, they still go in the room, they talk to the child if the kid is there. They still go out and buy things if the child is, still alive.
So, kad djete umre, oni dalje idu u sobu i razgovaraju, kad je djete prisutno i dalje kupuju razne stvari za njega, različite odjeće za njega.
But now, if the grieving process is going on in a healthy way, after the shock and denial, then there is a period of anger. Sometimes the anger is at ourselves. We look at ourselves and think that maybe we did something wrong.
Pogledamo sebe i mislimo, možda nismo učinili nešto da tako se to desilo.
Or sometimes we get angry at the person.
Čuli se ljutimo na neku osobu.
How could you leave us?
Kako si nas mogli
napraviti? How could you do this?
Kako si mogli napraviti to?
So there'll be a period when this is very strong.
So, tad nastupa te stvari kada je to vrlo izraženo, vrlo jako.
Go from the initial shock and denial.
Krećemo se od početnog šoka.
To now acceptance.
Na prihvaćenje.
But acceptance with anger.
Ali sad je to prihvaćenje sa ljutim prisutno.
Then after the anger, is guilt. The anger is more of an anger at them. And the guilt is more of a feeling or anger with ourselves. Just like usually when somebody dies, and people go to the funeral, and most people, they cry, they're very sad. But most cases, that sadness is selfish. Because they're thinking, oh, now you're gone. Who's going to pay for the mortgage? Who's going to cook my dinner? Who's going to be home when I come home? Who's going to do my laundry? So, in many ways, one is selfish because they get all these things about themselves that they're going to miss now.
So, in many ways, that was selfish to push, pushing the mission, that was to be focused on, and be satisfied because of the mission.
orders there because there's something that was incomplete if they didn't have a chance to finish up the relationship. Sometimes they're really sad because there was a grudge or an argument going on, and they really wish they had time to talk to that person once again. So now they really were liking that person very much. They never really told the person. So a lot of times the anxiety is due to the person feeling bad because somehow they didn't complete some things in the relationship.
Много пъти особа се усеща лоша, зато што ние довършваме нещо в тези
тълнаби си. Now they feel very guilty.
И се усеща много криво такова.
So it's the anger toward the other person, and after the anger, then some guilt or anger toward themselves.
Сега да прави се идвате на някой друго особо, една такова кривна.
Number five is fear.
Брой пет е страх.
After one moves to this,
кога се бъде, зато што прожи към света,
then there's tremendous amount of things that there's a violent fear. Because there's uncertainty.
Because
someone who's an integral part of your life now is no longer going to be there. Then you start thinking, what is this going to look like? What does this mean for the future? Especially if it's a husband, if it's a wife, if it's a child, mother, father. So much of your life was based on your association with them. Just like there are people, especially elderly people. Sometimes the husband dies. Probably all over the world, the men usually die first. Worldwide, women live longer than men. Some countries 5 years longer, the average, some countries 7, 8, 9 years longer. And in most places in the world, the man, you know, dies or gets sick, and a woman has to take care of him until his last day. So men, you better be nice to your wife. Because when you get old, she's going to beat you up a bit. If when you get old, you may have to see me how to take care of you. Or she may bury you. In general. So, but sometimes, right after the husband dies, sometimes only months later, woman also dies. Because her grief is so strong. And when they're all like that, they live a long time together. Their whole life is pretty much only based on each other at this point. And so the grief and the fear is so powerful that one loses, you know, a desire to live on. They just can't think of living, you know, without the problem. Good, that happens sometimes. Now, next six. Pain and sorrow. These actually go throughout the whole experience. So right after the fear, it's becoming stronger. It's chronically ill for a long time. It's like you as well as them. You have a chance to kind of prepare for death. Sometimes somebody is really chronically ill. You're almost wanting them to die because you see that they're suffering too much in their physical body.
So
when death finally comes, it's not as traumatic as it happened. You know, just very abruptly. But sometimes when it happens abruptly, it causes some people to lose faith in Krishna. not so much like a devotee, but because people in general,
who are to lose faith in God.
Especially when it happens sometimes to a child. Because most people, even religious people, they don't understand karma. So they get angry at God. Why do you think this child away? The child hasn't even lived yet. They don't understand the karma that comes from previous lives. Number nine. This is a return to pursuits of love. So this is when the full healing takes place. So now, let's get this for a second. We go. This is normal what happens for most people. First, there's a shock. Someone who's dear to you, you couldn't even think about being separated from them. You're an integral part of your life. All of a sudden, that person is gone. At least in the physical. You never see that person again. So the first thing that happens usually is mind and body can go into shock. And that is connected with denial. It is such a serious thing that one just doesn't want to consider normal. No way. That cannot happen. It's too serious, it's too bad. Surely that didn't happen. Then finally, after we accept that it did happen, then we get angry. First, anger toward the person. How could you leave me? How am I going to live on? You start having so much disturbance about what the future is going
to
be. Then from anger toward the person, there comes a certain amount of anger or guilt that they experience themselves. Sometimes they start thinking, well, why I didn't die? It would have been better if I would have died in humorous too. They start thinking, why I didn't know that you were in danger? Or in suicide, they think, what could I have done that could have made a difference? And so they go through all of this. This is natural. And then you have this ongoing tremendous fear. They start having fear in connection with that person's life. How is it going to look? What is it going to mean to them? Especially if they would depending on that person, economically, socially, psychologically. Now somehow they have to live a whole new lifestyle because that person isn't there anymore. Then if they're dealing with all of this, it adds up into just so much more pain and sorrow. Then after they have had chance to have the pain and the sorrow, it goes into relief and resolution. They accept the inevitable, that did happen. They would like it could happen to anybody. They see that it's not just something that's unique. They move away from some of the guilt for themselves. They lose the anger for the person. And now, at this point, the most healthiest state. Where they return to pursuits of love. In other words, where there was all of this shock and denial and anger and guilt, fear and pain. Now they're at this point of having learned a lesson from experience. They're realizing that, as we said last night, they're thinking, how should I act in a way that that person would be happy about how I'm acting now? Would that person be happy knowing that their death has caused me now to be in constant denial or in constant anger. Would that person be okay in knowing now my whole life is just full of guilt and fear? Just say, for instance, you know, your husband died, your wife died. Or Brahmacharya is your best Brahmacharya friend died. So now, would they be satisfied knowing that their death has caused you to go with constant guilt, constant anger, or fear? And once that's by acting like that, you're making them die many times over and over again. Or you're making their transition much more difficult. Because sometimes a person is still aware of what is going on in the environment that he just left. So it makes it even more complex when they realize that their leaving has now put people in perpetual anger or
fear.
But at this point, we show that we appreciated the association we did have with them. By honoring the life, by living on for them. Or by living in such a way that some of their desires can live through us. Or living in such a way that they would be proud of how we have gone on with our life. In this way, even though the soul is eternal, even this way they're living on. Because they're being remembered in a way that's helping us to be a better person. Now, let's just put this one. Take it down. Wrap up our time is going. Sometimes the only way through grief, or the only way out of pain, is to go through it. Sometimes the only way we can really just put that down. Sometimes the only way out of pain, sometimes the only way out of pain is through it. Sometimes the only way out of pain is through it. That means the need for honest recognition. That sometimes the only way out of pain is through it. In the next line, put a need for honest recognition. It's like with the healthy grief. If one stayed in denial, but both are not experiencing the pain, it's just suppressing and the pain is going to come out later. Or if one just stays in fear, still the pain is not fully transcended. There are some people who refuse to grieve. Sometimes as devotees, we shut down so many of our emotions. Why are some reasons why devotees shut their emotions down sometimes? What are some reasons you can think that something dramatic has happened? The devotee is kind of forcing themselves not to grieve, not to lament. Yes, sometimes you don't want to be distracted with your bhajan. I am too much being a serious devotee, I can't be distracted. So I can't show any emotion. Yes. Sometimes we have a picture, what we consider to be proper devotee. It just doesn't fit into that. Yes, people try to get away from expressing emotion. They think that emotions will bring pain. Sometimes they're afraid to reveal what they're really thinking or feeling. Sometimes they're afraid to reveal what they're thinking or feeling because they consider others may not understand. They see them as sentimental. He said, Krishna said once in my grief. Yes, so sometimes when we hear that, we think, oh, then you never
grieve.
You see that he says, that you know, once in another
grief.
But as we go on the course, we're going to see how much the devotees of the Lord, when there is separation from someone who's dear to them,
But it's like when we wrote on
the first page. Lamentation, grief is like spice.
With
the spice, then if you don't have grief is like a death, grief is like a spice.
Number two.
The spice. You don't want to have too much, you don't want to have too little. We don't have some expression of grief, it will have some very bad effects on
us.
If we get stuck in just constant grief, it will also have some negative
influence.
And you want to, what's some other reasons
for the
devotees
that deny
spirit? And sometimes for the devotees it becomes rather confusing.
As
materialists, we lose something or we lose someone, we know. Now we want to be very, very sad and express it. Sometimes the devotee is confused, you know. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to think about? If I cry, does that mean I'm in
Maya?
Does that mean that, you know, I'm too attached? Somebody dies in the family, you say, I don't care, I don't worry about that. It's not the body anyway. Yes, sometimes the body understands the function of the material world. Then actually be less disturbed. But if we're in denial about relationships and Gandha, then that's a problem. Okay, last part of our work today, then tomorrow we're going to a new area. We want to make a list of reasons why we do not grieve.
This is a
new page. We'll keep these for tomorrow. We can put them up. So we're going to give you a list of maybe 6-7 things in general of why people, you know, do not grieve. See, sometimes when we do not grieve, it causes some dysfunctionalism in our personalities. Sometimes for the rest of our lives. And other times if we are excessive in our grief, We also have some dysfunction in the rest of our
life.
Even we're looking at these kind of things because in order to access our pureness as spiritual entities, we have to remove some of the issues that stagnate us. Especially some of the disturbances to our minds. We know that if we are able to deal, especially with the enemies of the mind,
karma,
krodha, lobha, nada, etc., that once the mind isn't under attack, then there is pure Krishna consciousness. When the mind is no longer under attack, so these kind of discussions become important because they help us to relieve ourselves from different types of attacks. Then what is that? Our pure state. Okay, so we'll end with these points. So reasons we don't grieve. Number one, we want to appear strong. Sometimes our cultural background or our associations make us feel that it's a sign of strength not to show emotion. Men have this a little more than women. They feel much more reluctant to show emotion. So therefore sometimes they keep all the suffering within. And it makes sickness, it causes depression. So he said sometimes the best way through the pain, to relieve one from the pain, is to go through it, to experience it, and then move away from it.
To
afraid to show our emotion.